Welcome to the Lead More Podcast. I'm your host, John T. Meyer. The Lead More Podcast is the show where we sit down with leaders of today to help inspire and create more leaders for tomorrow. Because I believe the world needs more leaders. And if you're listening to this, I believe that you believe that too, and that you're ready to lead. In this episode, we sit down with my friend, Tim Shore. Tim is the author of The Secret Society of Success. And congratulations, Tim. That book just launched 2 days ago. This episode's dropping on a Thursday. It launched on a Tuesday, and I'm so excited and happy for him. This is a really, really enjoyable conversation. Prior to being an author, Tim was the COO of StoryBrand and the right-hand man for Donald Miller. Donald is a speaker, an author, a marketer, an entrepreneur. I got to meet Tim about 7 years ago. I went to Nashville, Tennessee, and did the StoryBrand workshop, one of the most valuable things I've ever done in my business career, framing the way stories are told, thinking about the way you message and communicate and market to your customers and your audience. Phenomenal workshop, really great book, that one too, called StoryBrand. And I met Tim and just kept in touch and followed along. And now he is jumping out on his own journey, writing this book and starting a new career. And so in this episode, we talk about that, making that leap, how he knew it was time. But we also talk about the book, what is the secret success of society? Did you know that there was another person on the moon trip that didn't land on the moon? We talk about that. We talk about the Savannah Bananas and how they are rethinking the way baseball should be played and the way the fan experience works. You guys know I'm a baseball fan. I love that conversation. So Tim pulls out some stories from his book, talks about what the secret society is and how we can all push ourselves to be a part of that and not fall into what he calls stage spotlight mindset, where we want to be always in the spotlight. So awesome conversation for any leader and just for anybody thinking about how to frame your mind and how we spend our time and the things that matter most to us. So that's all I'm going to say. You're going to love the conversation. Tim's got high energy. He's a funny guy. And with that, here is Tim Shore. All right, friends, welcome to another episode of the Lead More Podcast. I'm here with an old friend, Tim Shore, the new author and the former COO of StoryBrand. How are you, Tim?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm so pumped to be here hanging with you. It's been a long time and I'm so excited.
We were just talking, I think 2015, I went to Nashville to Donald Miller's StoryBrand workshop, which I always say is still probably the best like $2,000 I've ever spent. I think it was cheap. I was early and amazing workshop. Not only did I learn a lot, but I met some awesome people, still friends with many. And you, just like myself this year, are starting a new chapter of your life. It's exciting.
I spent almost a decade working with Don and building the company and the team. So to be in a place where now you even just introduced me as the former COO is like, it's just so mind-boggling because I just lived in that world for so long. But
yeah,
you know, the closer I was getting to this book coming out, the more I realized to do that really well, to market that book really well, requires me to do several things that I wasn't doing leading up to the book in years past. So I launched a podcast called Build a Winning Team. I have been on a crazy number of podcasts. So I just knew to launch the book looked like me doing those things. And that was just going to be really difficult to also keep doing my job. Like I had a pretty big job. So yeah. I am not somebody who likes to do anything halfway and felt like I kind of got to a point where I had to make an impossible decision, which was leaving a dream job to go chase a new dream.
Yeah.
And as I looked at kind of the two options, it's kind of like win-win, right? Like you can't, good versus good. Like it's a great decision either way. But I, after having spent almost a decade doing the StoryBrand thing, I got really excited about kind of chasing down a new, you know, a new dream, a new adventure. So here we are. We're in the middle of it.
I love it. Congratulations. And as somebody who went through that same thing, I'm curious, I think I saw you post writing a book was always a dream of yours, but when did you start thinking like, I'm going to go for this, like all the way go for this? Because was it brewing for a while or was it pretty quickly?
You know, it's interesting. It didn't even dawn on me that it was going to be a thing that would become a career ever, really, until probably the fall. So that's what, 6 months in advance, 6-7 months in advance of the book release. Mm-hmm. So I had this idea about 5 years ago. I'd love to write a book and just set it out loud as a big dream. Mm-hmm. But it was that. It wasn't really to start a new career. It was, I just want to accomplish this thing. And so started making progress towards that, ended up getting a book publishing deal. I then had a writing deadline, but all the while I'm just doing that early mornings at night, you know? So it's just like a side thing.
Yeah. I imagine Donald is the type of leader who's encouraging his team to chase their dreams, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, I didn't really, for me, for so long, it wasn't even really a thing that we talked about that much. Cause it's like, I just didn't want to let that also get confused into what I was really focused on. So, I mean, I was getting up at 5:30 or staying up and putting in a little time from 9 PM to 10:30 or whatever, you know, just these little periods and pockets of time. And then really, as we started getting closer to it, and you know, Don, as I started telling him all the things that I was wanting to do, he's like, man, of course, exactly what you're just saying, really chase this thing down. And to the point to where, when I finally made the decision to transition into this new, you know, situation as a situation, this new opportunity. Situation. Man, I guess. What am I trying to say? You know, situation. What's behind all that? So as
well,
you
did certainly leave the, like, I don't know if working for Don is a traditional job, but like the established job, a good salary, a team, to now being just on your own, which is a leap.
And when we told the team, we gave everybody 3 months. I was like, hey, I'm going to 90-day runway, because I really wanted everybody to feel like I was setting them up for success. And Don said something really cool the day that we released it to the staff. He said, Tim helped make my dream come true. Mm-hmm. And now I want us to do everything that we can to make his dream come true.
Wow.
So, I mean, you ask is, you know, he seems like somebody who would chase it, you know, encourage people to chase dreams. Like if that statement doesn't say everything that you need to hear, like that's the posture that he took. So it'll be really fun to have other people hear the interview on StoryBrand's podcast. It's Business Made Simple's podcast.
Oh, sure.
I just did one with Don. And it's just talking a little bit about that and what he and I navigated.
Oh, I bet incredibly emotional.
So,
it's
so fun.
You guys were so tight and worked so closely together for a decade. I'm sure it's an emotional thing for both of you.
Totally. And I think that's why it's been able to be so positive, because we are such great friends and want to continue being champions. Like, I want to set him and the team up for success to keep doing their thing. And he also wants me to be able to launch and step into this whole world and chase down the thing that is really, you know, my passion right now. So it's all in all been really, really positive. And I'm truly just grateful for the opportunity to be able to do it.
Very cool, Tim. Well, here it is. The book is called The Secret Society of Success. It's pretty cool. I've never been, you know, I think I've read maybe some pre-release books, but I've never been sent a book from someone who said, hey, you get to read this early copy. I think there's not even like, I noticed there's not even like, there's a page that says like, here's where testimonials will go, which I thought was great. It,
like, leave 3 pages here.
I love it. So give us the elevator pitch of what is The Secret Society.
So I'll give this is one of the stories I think really frames up what the book is all about. And it's one of my favorites to tell. So, you know, I'm sure people listening, y'all are familiar with Apollo 11, right? You have Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. But what a lot of people don't know, there was actually a third astronaut on that mission, and his name was Michael Collins.
That was new to me. Here, I read it.
Michael Collins. The guy Ubers Neil and Buzz to the moon, drops them off so they can do all the various tasks that they have to do on the moon's surface, while he stays back in the command module, does not get to orbit the moon. He stays in the command module he doesn't get to set foot on the moon. He has to orbit it. He does it like 26 times until these guys are ready to be picked up and brought back to Earth. And what would make this a miserable story to me is if Michael were to get back to Earth, sit down with the press and say something like, well, it sure would have been nice to actually walk on the moon. Like acted like a victim, tried to take the spotlight away from the mission as a whole. But what's beautiful is that's not at all what happened. He sits down with the press and talks about how content he was to have had one of those three seats. So why is it that to be successful, we feel like we have to step into the spotlight, climb the ladder, be the boss, have fame, money, power? Do we have to actually walk on the moon to be happy? And for so many of us, we've done this. We've tried to live into this definition of success, and we're left just feeling exhausted. And if you're like me, I was in that space and wondering, is there another way? Like, surely there has got to be another way, because this just doesn't feel sustainable. And so over the last 15 years, as I've been navigating my career, I have discovered through my time at Tom's Shoes, but then also in the few years that I spent at Apple, and then, you know, in the 10 years at StoryBrand, I've just been collecting these stories of people who I call the secret society of success. This group of people, they've taught me to define success differently from the money, fame, power that we are hearing from this cultural definition. So the book is really an exploration into what is success?
Yeah.
And how can we learn to define it a little bit differently from what we're hearing?
I love it. Yeah. And just countless stories, just like the Michael Collins one, which was, maybe it's just our age, but I had no idea about him. I thought that was fantastic.
Never heard of that guy.
Yeah. So cool. I mean, I thought your analogy, I don't know if you use marathon or, but like essentially it's like running 26 miles, but not the point two. He was so close to the moon and just,
yeah, you do all the work. I mean, he had done every single bit of training and you're right there at the doorstep. I mean, he literally dropped the guys off to jump on, you know, whatever, or whatever. It's like, I think they had some little device that they then took onto the moon. Anyways, the point is, he's pretty close.
Yeah, you can see it. Yeah. I'm curious, you mentioned this cultural definition of success, and I wanted to ask you, is that more, do you think that is more society, or are we wired as humans to want that spotlight, or is it a little bit of both?
I do think that there is something in all of us that we just want to feel that we matter. We want to be seen, you know, like we want the people around us to notice us. So there is a part of it that is human. But I think that that has an unhealthy version, an unhealthy side. And I think if we don't check ourselves, this human tendency can actually spiral into something that I call the spotlight mindset, this unhealthy desire for attention and recognition. And for so many of us, the spotlight mindset shows up in our lives, whether or not we even realize we're in it. So it's the one thing that is keeping us from being a part of the secret society. The spotlight mindset will kind of trap us and have us just in a totally different headspace than what it looks like to live in the way of the secret society. So there's a few of these symptoms, if you will, that most of us can identify in our lives that would kind of show us, wait, I don't necessarily know if I'd raise my hand. Like for a lot of people listening, they might say, I don't know if I would raise my hand and say, I like really want to be in the spotlight. But I would imagine there's a point in your life when you've felt like you're stuck in comparison.
Oh yeah.
Like wondering how your success stacks up against others. Comparison is a symptom of the spotlight mindset, or striving. You find yourself on this endless chase for next or more. And, you know, is it leaving you unhappy? Striving is a symptom of the spotlight mindset, but, you know, so too is selfishness. Like there's this idea that, when I was at StoryBrand, I did all the hiring, and one day an application came through, and on this person's resume, they had one of my favorite companies listed, and I couldn't wait to talk to them and find out what it was like to work at this company. And so in the first interview, I'm like, tell me everything. I was so excited.
Yeah.
And they said something I'll never forget. They said, you know, it's a really competitive environment, but here's the thing. Nobody there has your back. Mm. I'm like, what do you mean nobody there has your back? And they went on to describe that everyone was so focused on their own climb, their journey, that they would never give credit to anybody else or contribute to projects for someone else unless it had something to do with serving their own agenda. Nobody there has your back is such a horrible thing to say about a company culture. And yet that is the culture that so many companies have. So yeah. Selfishness, this idea of just being so laser focused on your own thing that maybe you're not even willing or interested in leaning into maybe setting somebody else up to win. So all of these things are kind of, I've looped into one big thing, and I just call that the spotlight mindset. And it's the one thing we need to identify in our lives, because when we can notice ourselves in it, we can then make intentional decisions to get out of it. Yeah. And lean more into defining success and living like the secret society does. Cause I think that is a version of life that is way more interesting and way more sustainable and way more fulfilling for sure.
Yeah, that sustainable part I definitely can agree with, because you can only be on the treadmill or the rat race, you know, for so long. And in the comparison point, there's always going to be somebody with more, right?
Always.
Yeah. Yeah. I wondered when I read it, you know, I think of like the human wiring. I'm guessing back to the medieval days of kings and queens, there was always people who wanted to wear the crown. But yet I also thought of that, like with social media in today's world, does that only kind of amp all this up even more, that spotlight mindset, because we can look at people's perfectly filtered life and see their followers and see their likes and favorite, you know, do we want it even more, like even to an unhealthy level? What do you think about
that? Well, I think that there is the world that we live in right now with consumerism. I mean, and you're a marketer, you know how all this works. To sell products in today's market, you have to present everything to potential buyers through the lens of what's in it for me. Mm-hmm. Because that is the exact question, even subconsciously, that potential buyers are asking themselves when they're up against all these advertisements. Is this product, what's in it for me? How is it going to make my life better? And so for so many of us, we just get so consumed with that. And I just think it continues to lead us down these paths that I just don't think are really that healthy. It's the thing that will kind of distract us from ultimately where we want to go. So that whole idea of like, what's in it for me, this world that we're living in, we're constantly thinking about ourselves. What that also means is we're going over onto places like social media, seeing how everyone else is presenting themselves. And, you know, this whole, is this version better than what I have? I want what they, you know, just we're wanting, needing, thinking of ourselves. And it's just a very exhausting way to live. But that's, you are so right. I too find myself jumping online and just clicking over to somebody's profile just to see how many followers they have, because then I look at that in comparison to my number of followers and I wonder, am somehow I better than them? And those are on my really unhealthy days. But if I'm honest, like that is a thing that I still have to wrestle with and navigate.
Yeah. And I actually appreciated that part in the book where I thought you were vulnerable and explained to some of, you know, we all experience these. I've experienced that, you know, I can recognize when I am slipping away from the secret society and more into that spotlight mindset, which I thought was really great. Because yeah. We do all experience those days.
And that's the reality, is we have to learn to live in this tension between these two things. So I have a friend named Tim Arnold, and he wrote a book called The Power of Healthy Tension. And he says, life is not so much about solving problems. We all want to just solve the problem. The reality is we live in the tension. It's not a problem to solve. It's a tension to manage. Mm-hmm. So it's not like one day we wake up and say, guys, I totally nailed it. Spotlight mindset. That's it. I don't struggle with that anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, no, the reality is we are going to likely even today face a situation where we're going to choose if we're going to identify the spotlight mindset, that like temptation to go value ourselves based on the following count that we have versus somebody else, or we actually choose another path. And so the book, really what I'm trying to do is acknowledge the fact that we are all in this. We are all going to get into these really unhealthy headspaces. How can we use tools to get out of those funks faster? So a funk that you may be in for days or weeks before, constantly comparing yourself, what if we could have tools to get us into a better headspace faster? So it's not an if you'll come up against these challenges. So when you do come up against these challenges, how do we navigate them in a healthier way?
Sure. And I wanted, that was a kind of a key question as I read the book that I wanted to ask you about, was that tension. Because so you're coming from a decade long experience as a behind the scenes kind of backstage guy, the COO of this growing company, and incredibly like spotlight, but also a very gracious leader in Donald Miller. Yeah. And so now to do this new career, an author, you're on all these podcasts, you started your own podcast, you actually, your business will require you to be in the spotlight, right? Yeah. So how are you going to, you're stepping right into the tension, you know, and how do you plan to handle that?
So what I've learned is even so many of the stories that I love to share, people who I've been really inspired by that are showing me what it looks like to live in the way of the secret society. Some of these people are very much in the spotlight. I talk in the book about LeBron James, Scott Hamilton, Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple. I mean, these people couldn't be more in the spotlight. And yet I discovered that living in the way of the secret society, being a part of that community, has less to do with your position on the org chart or how much visibility you have. It's not really about that. It's more about your headspace, how you show up, the posture in which you do your work. Because I think that for so many of us, we have come up against really humble people and leaders, leaders who are wanting to help others win versus making it about themselves, right? So that's, I think, really what it comes down to. It's more, how do we navigate life regardless of how much visibility we have? How do we show up? And so that's really the secret society. If I were to summarize it, what does it look like to live in the way of the secret society? It's this idea of helping others win.
Yeah, I love that. You know,
being all about the assist, like focusing more on that than having it be all about us. And so you're right. And it's a little ironic. And I've definitely had a lot of people coming at me and be like, wait a second. So the subtitle of the book is Stop Chasing the Spotlight. And yet you launched a book with your name on the front cover. Like, isn't that strange?
Well, as long as you recognize the irony, right? Totally.
And I think really that's, I think it really is all about, what is your posture? How do you think about these things? Because even, you know, this is where, even on a conversation like this, the spotlight mindset would have me wanting to say so many things so that people think I'm impressive or successful, and then therefore that others would maybe admire me. And like, that would almost be my motivation. That's what the spotlight mindset would have me doing, because I want the attention. I want the recognition, right? But living in the way of the secret society is about helping others win, right? So I approach a conversation like this, if I'm living in the way of the secret society, more like, I actually don't care if the people listening to this podcast know my name at the end of this.
Sure.
But if what I can do is help them start to think differently about how they define success and the thing they're walking away with, talking about with their coworkers, their spouse, whatever, is that idea, then I have done my job well. If I get out of the way and the idea actually is the hero. So I think that's just a perfect example of what living, you know, in the way of the secret society looks like versus being trapped in that spotlight mindset.
I love that. Yeah. This podcast is, you know, about leadership. And one of our core beliefs is that, you know, you don't have to have the title to be a leader. And I think that really jives with this idea of the secret society and also that tension that we can, maybe we lead on a project and then we step back into the, you know, into the team, and then we step out on another event or initiative. And so that leadership is also ebbs and flows. You don't just have to be the CEO or just be the oldest person in the room. I think it jives really nicely with this idea of the secret society.
Well, there's a whole chapter. One of my favorite ideas in the whole book is this idea: you don't need a stage to make an impact.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was great.
Because there is a myth that you need a stage to be a leader, right? To have influence. Mm-hmm. You have to have a lot of social media followers. You have to have, you know, blah, blah, blah. We could fill in the blank and list about 85 million things that we've heard that people will say about this idea. But I don't think that's it at all. You don't have to have a big following to be a leader. Really, what it looks like is showing up and doing the work and focusing more on the work than the amount of attention or visibility that you're getting from that work. And what would it look like to live our lives through the lens of one life at a time? Let that be enough. Mm-hmm. And this is how Blake Mycoskie grew Tom's Shoes. I mean, the company now has sold 95 million pairs of shoes. Wow. It has totally disrupted the business landscape with this whole idea of one for one. I mean, that was not really a thing before Tom's.
Yeah,
and now you have people like Warby Parker that have, you know, picked up on some of that. So Blake, but he, what I love about Blake and the story of Tom's is like, he didn't get there by trying to get there. If at the very beginning, he would have set out to, you know, imagine the right when he had the idea of Tom's, he goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sell 100 million pair of shoes and totally disrupt the business landscape with this new model. It's like, come on.
It
never would have happened.
Yeah.
But what's beautiful about it is he didn't even intend to really start a company. He just wanted to help give shoes to a village in Argentina, 250 pair. It was almost just like fun philanthropic experiment, he says. And then one thing leads to another. And, you know, several years later, Tom's is what it is. And I just think that that approach, that mentality for so many of us, whether we're in a leadership position or not, if we just were to actually spend more time focusing on kind of that one life at a time thing, and you just never know what that will accumulate to over years and years. But that to me is the headspace that I want to live in. And it's how I want to define success, not by the size of my platform, but more by the people that I'm able to impact in large quantities or not.
Yeah, that's great, Tim. I love that. So I know you're a Kansas City kid. We have a lot of Midwestern listeners on this show, now live in Nashville, but
that's
I want you to tell us the story about the Savannah Banana. So you're not that far from Savannah.
Oh man!
But I'm a baseball guy. I thought that chapter was so great. And I've seen pictures of them on Instagram wearing the, like doing all the silly things. And I saw a guy come out to the bat with his bat was literally on fire. Like his bat was burning. So tell us about that team.
So much of how I define success now is people who look at success as it's in the process, not the result. Mm-hmm. And so many people get so obsessed around the amount of revenue that a company may have or the number of employees they've been able to grow to, you know, because when we hear about these successful companies, you know, I say that with quotes like successful companies. How culture would define success is you have a ton of employees, you have a bunch of revenue, like that is the stuff that matters. And so for so many people that are starting their own businesses, when we're looking at how we should posture ourselves, that's the thing that we go to. That's the way that we too measure success. But what I love about Jesse is in what they did with the Savannah Bananas. So this is a minor league baseball team. And so when I say minor league, I just want to try to explain how minor league they are. Okay. So I'm just going to read you a list of the leagues and where they actually fall in this whole thing. I have to pull this up because, I mean, truly, it's one of my favorite things and it's so crazy. So you have the major leagues. You then have AAA, AA, High A, Low A, Short Season A, Advanced Rookie, Professional Independent, College, and then you have summer collegiate baseball, which is the league that the Savannah Bananas are in. And yet they sell 4,000 tickets a game to people coming to watch baseball in a summer collegiate. I mean, it's crazy. So what I love, though, is they didn't get there by trying to get there. They didn't get there by obsessing over the number of fans that they had or didn't have in their ballpark. They just committed to the process. Mm-hmm. And so their goal was they wanted to focus on fans first. That was their kind of filter for everything. How can we entertain fans and create the most incredible experience for them? So the way that that plays out is the person taking tickets is wearing a banana costume. There is a marching band that welcomes you into the stadium. They have a senior citizen dance team called the Savannah Nanas. They have a breakdancing first base coach. They have skits at every half inning, often with the players themselves as a part of these skits. Like, they are just going all in on entertaining their fans. And you said this too, people coming to bat with flames coming off the barrel of the bat. Or there was even, you can look this up on YouTube, it's hilarious, a guy walks to the plate in stilts. In stilts. Oh. I mean, it just, it's, and then they have another one where the players are in kilts. I mean, truly, I could go on and on and on because the stories are endless. That's but great. What the point is, Jesse and the team focused on the process, the things that they can control, not obsessing over the end result. So what would it look like for us to just enjoy the journey, do that part of the work, and let the results take care of themselves? So what I have learned from Jesse and the Savannah Bananas is success is in the process, not the result.
That is so good. Yeah. I love that. I love the, like, they're not trying to get there. What did you say? They're not trying to get there.
Not trying to get there. Yeah. It's like, they didn't get there by trying to get there.
By trying to get there. Yeah. They have this filter, this one single kind of vision statement of fans first, and that they apply that to every single aspect of, yeah, of the game.
And Jesse actually has a book that came out on the same day as mine. So,
oh, no way.
He has a book called Fans First. You have to pick that up. I pre-ordered my copy, and I truly can't wait to dive in and read it, because he is a remarkable human being. And I just love how he leads and shows up for his team.
So cool. Well, that's what I want to end with. And then we'll do a little bit of rapid fire. So the book is coming. If you're listening to this today, it has just come out. Congratulations. Tell us about where we can get it and all that.
Yeah. So if you go to secretsocietyfree.com, I'm actually giving the first two chapters away for free. And you can also hear me read the first two chapters in the audiobook too, cool, if you'd rather, you know, listen. But secretsocietyfree.com is where you can go.
Awesome. So let's end with just get to know you a little bit more, Tim. You now have written a book. You worked for a gentleman who's written lots of books. What's the book you would recommend to people most if you meet a friend and you want to give them a book?
This is so hard. I have so many books that I would love to
give. You probably know a lot of authors too.
Here is a recent one that has been really impactful for me. A book called Soundtracks by John Acuff. This idea that we are off, so many of us are overthinkers. We spend so much time in our heads and we spin these soundtracks that may not actually be helpful. And so how do we take what he calls broken soundtracks, and he defines what a broken soundtrack is, and then learn to kind of repeat new ones until they almost like fill our thoughts. So here's a perfect example. There was a broken soundtrack that was subconscious. I had never written it down or said it out loud, but I had been thinking this for months leading up to me narrating the audiobook. It was a broken soundtrack that said, "You are not going to do well. You're not a good reader. You're not going to do well." And what's crazy is, and John has in this book like a few filters. Like, is it true? You ask this about these soundtracks. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it kind? And so you kind of ask yourself to determine, is this a broken soundtrack? So what's crazy is I can read just fine. I don't have any problems with reading. And yet there was this soundtrack that just said I was not going to do well. And so what I did, man, this is not rapid fire. And I'm so sorry. We're just digging.
No, I like it. I'm intrigued. I'm definitely adding this to my Amazon list.
So you replace that broken soundtrack with a new one. So what I started saying to myself, anytime this thought would come up, is I always do well when I prepare. So the moment that I would feel you're not going to do well, I would just say, I always do well when I prepare. And I did that. I prepared like crazy for me narrating the audiobook. And I actually walked away from the 3 days in the studio. And afterwards I started crying, because now here's the soundtrack that was like so broken and not true at all. And it's like, I did it. And what I did was I followed through with the positive soundtrack. And I think that for so many of us, this is happening in our lives in so many different places. We don't even realize how many broken soundtracks we have. So I actually created a note on my phone. And anytime I hear those broken soundtracks, I write them down and I replace them with a new one.
Cool. I love that. Last year I got to do Jesse Itzler's event. It's called 29029. It's this hike where you have to hike a mountain 13 times. And before the event, they have a speaker and he shared this line about that your tongue is the rudder that steers your life. And I thought that's such a great line just to say. I like the soundtracks idea too, because sometimes we don't even say it. They're just in our heads over and over and over. That's really powerful.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a book. How do you unplug? When you need to maybe break that soundtrack or kind of check yourself in that spotlight mindset, how do you like to unplug?
Yeah. So it's either playing golf or a couple mornings a week, I play basketball at 5:15 a.m. with a bunch of other dads.
Nice.
We're all just trying to get a good run in and not get
hurt. Yeah. That's what I thought you were going to say. I knew you're a golf guy, because I've seen that from social media. Okay. You're a parent. I think parents are leaders. And, you know, if we have great parents in this world, I think the world's going to be a great place. So what's a piece of parenting advice that you would give?
You know, this is true of the secret society, but it's this idea of just, I mean, we said this earlier, but like help others win. Mm-hmm. And I just love that idea. If I can just be thinking my role as a dad within my kid's life is to just help them win and do whatever I possibly can to help them in whatever role that may, you know, make for me, I want to look at their dreams, their ideas, help them chase them. Mm-hmm. And in the end, sacrifice myself to, you know, let them win. I think that it's a sign of a good leader, but I also think it's a quality of a great parent.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so simple, but sometimes easy to forget.
Yeah.
What do you think your superpower is, Tim? I know that Donald calls you the Billy Bean of business, which I thought was great. But we asked this question. We used to do it at my last job at Lemonly when we hire. So if you have to brag about yourself, what's your superpower?
I would say it's smiling. That's
I'll make sure to reference the video too of this of this episode. You have a big smile.
I bring the energy and the positivity, and that's something that I like that about myself. And I just believe that I can help turn people's day around sometimes just by smiling. Now, I was at the post office yesterday. I actually had a pretty like a whirlwind of a day, and would have been very easy to get kind of caught into like a victim mode. But I was just in the midst of the struggle yesterday, trying to remind myself what I was grateful for, have some fun. And I'm walking out of this post office after just shipping like 170 packages, which I also had fulfilled and packed and all that. I mean, it's a longer story, but the point is, I'm walking out of the post office and this lady in the parking lot's like, you're the happiest person I've ever seen walking out of a post office before. But I just believe that we can do that. I can bring this joy and this positivity and like a lightness. And I think part of the reason is just I'm intentional about it. And And it's genuine. It's like actually overflowing from how I actually feel. I realize it's probably not normal, but I'll
it's a superpower.
It as my superpower.
Absolutely. Well, the last question we always ask on the Lead More podcast, because it's also, it's fun to listen and learn, but also it's sort of a thank you. So who are the leaders who have inspired or shaped your life? I mean, you wrote about many of them in this book, but I'm curious of who you would say.
You know, there's a lot of them. You know, Don has been such a big role for me in my life, and taught me so much about how I want to show up. You know, one of the big concepts in Story Brand is your company is not the hero. Your company is the guide, you know? And so really what that is, what is being the guide? It's helping others win, right? It's like, so I learned a lot of that alongside him. Somebody that has been really inspiring to me recently, and I've come to know him over the last few months, is a guy named David Novak. So David is the co-founder and former chairman and CEO of Yum Brands, which is the parent corporation for KFC, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut. So David, as CEO, grew the business from $4 billion to $32 billion.
Wow.
And he did it by creating a culture of recognition where everyone mattered and everyone counted. And so he led the way by recognizing people. Like, that was his whole thing. So if he saw somebody doing something, modeling a behavior that they wanted to see in their company, he actually had a personal recognition award. And I actually have one on my desk. I'm grabbing it.
Oh, nice.
For anybody watching, you can see this. For anybody listening, just try to envision. It's a giant set of teeth with huge feet, and he called it the walk the talk teeth. And this was his recognition award at Yum. And so he would give somebody this personal recognition award, and what he would do is say, hey, I'm going to take a picture with you and hang this picture in my office, and I'm going to send you a copy as well. But I want people to see when they walk into my office that you're the kind of person that is really making things happen around here. And so he ran out of wall space and started putting these pictures on the ceiling. And so he's a guy who is just really taught me that success looks like recognizing others. And actually on my podcast, so when I launched the Build a Winning Team podcast, he was episode one, and we talked about how do you build cultures of recognition. So he is just like a total gem, has become a friend and a mentor. And more people need to, he has a book called Taking People With You, which was a number one New York Times bestseller. And just his mode and method of leadership is just remarkable. So, yeah.
That's so great. Well, there's very clearly throughout this whole episode, this through line in your work, right? Of helping other people win, of not playing a zero sum game, and that we can all win together. And that, I guess, is the secret society. I love it.
Yeah. And if there is a North Star for me in writing this book, it's this quote. And Albert Schweitzer said, I don't know what your destiny will be. Some of you will perhaps occupy remarkable positions. Perhaps some of you will become famous by your pens or as artists. But I know one thing, the only ones among you who will be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve.
That's a great, what a perfect place to end. So Tim, good luck with the release of the book. I'm so excited to follow your journey. I'm sure there might be another one in the future. I can tell you got another one in you someday, but enjoy this one for now. And thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah. Thanks so much, John. Fun hanging with you.
All right. You take care.
All right. Thank you so much, Tim, for coming on the podcast again. Congratulations on launching the book. That is so exciting. We will make sure to put a link to the book if you want to buy it online, of course. And as always, thank you for listening to the Lead More podcast. We drop episodes every other Thursday. I know this one was a little bit different. We wanted to go back to back because we wanted to help Tim spread the word about the book. And it was relevant since the book came out this week. So that's why we went back to back this week. So you'll see us again in 2 weeks. But you can find all the episodes, over 90 of them, at leadmorepodcast.com, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. So take care and be well.